Welcome to Voices for Life on KERI 1410 AM, a production of Right to Life of Kern County. And now, here's your host, Marilee Schreider.
Good day to you all, and welcome to Voices for Life. If you were listening to our broadcast a couple weeks ago, then you'll know our special guest was Pastor Philip Lee of His Way Out Ministries. That is a ministry that comes alongside people who are struggling with unwanted same-sex attraction, and they've been around in Bakersfield for something like 26 years. Now, Pastor Lee kindly joined us on Voices for Life that Saturday, and then I was his guest on his program, which immediately follows Voices for Life at 7:30. And we had a great discussion and a lot of fun, and, well, the good news is we've invited Pastor Philip back into the program, and we're going to do that again. We've invited him back for a very specific purpose, but before we get to that, I do have a couple of quick announcements. If you happen to drive by the Valley Baptist Church's Olive Drive campus, you no doubt noticed our stunning Remembering Row Memorial Cross display along the Olive Drive side of the campus. That is it is 2,300 crosses, creating a beautiful visual and a reminder of the 2,300 lives lost each day in America to abortion. And if you haven't seen it, please do drive by today or tomorrow morning, because it comes down at 1:30 tomorrow afternoon. And if you happen to be in the neighborhood at that time, we could use a few volunteers to help take down those 2,300 crosses. So again, that's at the Valley Baptist Church at 5500 Olive Drive. Please drop by and be edified. Also, Right to Life of Kern County's 12th annual Fish Fry for Life is still a go on Friday, February 19th, though not at the place we originally intended. As you Fish Fry fans already know, we've always held the dinner in the Leahy Hall of St. Francis of Assisi Church, and we were set to do it again when the Diocese of Fresno canceled all parachurch events on the property. So that is a bummer. But we did turn to our intrepid caterer, Fred Allison of Fred's Barbecue Factory, and we are moving the event to the Barbecue Factory at 4215 Rosedale Highway. So, friends, for this year, it's still the same fish dinner and still the same cause that you love, just in a new location, and we hope you'll join us. And for more info on that, please visit our website at rtlkc.org. Okay, welcome back, Pastor Philip Lee.
Good morning, Marilee. Pleasure to be back with you again.
Oh, so super. So, on our last program, you and I talked about the similarities in our ministries and the challenges that you and I and our supporters face in our ministries, both of which are considered in some circles to be controversial.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, that's not too far out there.
Not a stretch.
And as we were talking about our ministries and the church's response to abortion and same-sex attraction, you referred to the church as the last bastion of hope for hurting and wounded people. Remember?
And the broken, yes.
And the broken, absolutely. But in the wake of that program, you received some interesting feedback to that very statement. I was hoping you'd share that with us.
I'd be happy to.
Okay.
While our recent broadcast focused on the topics of abortion and homosexuality, you and I greatly emphasized our belief in the church being, again, the last bastion of hope for the wounded, hurting, and the broken. And rightly so, because the church is God's vehicle to reach those struggling with a considerable list of various habits, addictions, and compulsive behaviors.
Right.
Today, maybe more than ever, Christian men and women face a relentless onslaught of pressure and challenges daily. Ultimately, we are all in a battle to stay pure in a very impure world. Mm-hmm. The music industry, news media, educational system, television, and the internet are keeping all of us completely saturated in a lust-filled atmosphere. So I was not completely surprised, but a bit taken back, that a number of men, Christian men in particular, did contact me as a result of our recent broadcast, with each of these Christian men voicing their problem with an addiction to pornography. And they contacted me to express their disappointment and dismay that the church was unable, could not provide specific ministry to help them break free of the addiction to pornography. I can't really get into the specifics of what they shared with me, but clearly they were each and every one frustrated by the lack of specific help and support for their individual brokenness. That took me back.
Right.
But again, because the ministry of His Way Out, our primary focus is to help individuals with same-sex attraction. With a recent broadcast, with these men contacting me and voicing their frustration and dismay with regard to the church not offering specific ministry for the addiction of pornography, it grieves me.
It does. It does me too. And so basically what you and I discussed a little bit about the conversation, and basically the gentleman said to you, hey, you think abortion and same-sex attraction are the big issues in the church. You know, think again, porn addiction is absolutely prevalent. It's prevalent. It's pervasive. And I think their comments and the fact, well, the fact that it was the same observation from a number of different men, what kind of caught you off guard? It certainly did me.
Yes.
That wasn't a response that I would have expected to receive from that conversation.
I agree. And Christian men and women certainly are called to a life that involves going against the normal flow of our culture, a culture which promotes a love of pleasure and self-indulgence. Mm-hmm. We are each, as faithful followers of Christ, we are under command and calling to strive for purity. Now, I fully appreciate and understand the call to holiness. That's a tall order, and it does not happen in any of our lives overnight. It is progressive. But it's extremely important that we remember that Jesus would never ask us or call us to a standard that He would not also enable us to meet.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the problem with the epidemic of men and women struggling with addiction to pornography in the church really is not new in the scene. This has been ongoing now for many, many years. And it does, I believe, once again, take some very, very specific ministry.
It does. And I think that I'm sure it has been going on very, very long. But brother, that is one that nobody ever talks about, right?
It's pretty hush-hush.
It's pretty hush-hush.
But you know what? It's not just pornography. I think we Christians sometimes, we just don't want others to know our area of struggle. And because we are sexual beings, our sexuality is indeed a potent part of who we are.
Uh-huh.
As I shared on the previous broadcast, can you think of a better area of the enemy of our soul to attack? And today, the widespread carnage, if you will, of sexual and relational brokenness, male, female, adult, teenager, homosexual, heterosexual, is widespread, not just in the world, but in the church.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it also, when you told me that, and I think some of our listeners might be wondering today, well, what does a porn addiction have to do with pro-life issues or abortion specifically? And I was led to check that out because I was wondering that myself. So I don't think I'd ever asked myself that question before, but after doing a little research, I thought, wow, it has a lot to do with abortion, as I have found out.
And you dug pretty deep, because I think you have some numbers to share with us.
I do. And I didn't dig all that deep because they were kind of right there. It's just, I think, you know, we're very zero focused on pro-life specific, but this is pro-life too.
Yes.
As you and I were discussing.
Yes.
But I wanted to share, these stats were gleaned from the Barna Group. That's a group that researches cultural and religious trends in America.
Yes.
And the Covenant Eye, I don't know if you're familiar with that, but that's a provider of internet accountability software.
Yes.
Okay. And so according to their data, 70% of Christian youth pastors interviewed reported that they have had at least one teen come to them for help in dealing with pornography in the last 12 months. 59% of the pastors interviewed said that married men see their help for porn use. 55% of married men and 25% of married women say they watch porn at least once a month. 57% of pastors say porn addiction is the most damaging issue in their congregation. And 69% say that porn has adversely impacted their church. 7% of pastors say their church has a program to help people struggling with pornography. So, Philip, which of those stats surprises you the most, or maybe the least?
All of them.
Okay.
I would submit that one of the greatest problems that we have in dealing with pornography is that we do not recognize it for the evil that it really, truly is.
I agree.
Many minimize, rationalize, and even deny the evil behind it. It says very clearly in the book of Romans that because man began serving and worshiping created things rather than the Creator, God gave him over to shameful and unnatural lusts. That is according to Romans chapter 1, verses 24 through 27. So it's abundantly clear that you can see an almost predictable pattern in the fall of the great civilizations of the world, from an increased worship of the human body to the descent of society into sexual depravity. Mm-hmm. I would submit clearly, the big issue here is that we're just not watching what we're putting before our eyes.
That's right. And I was reading other, there was one survey in the Barna Group that some people don't seem to know it. That remember the Supreme Court justice who said his definition of porn was, well, I'll know it when I know it when I see it. Mm. These days, you can't even say that.
Yes, but also to be fair,
yes.
I mean, let's say you're driving down the Trustan Extension. The sky is blue. The birds are chirping. It's a wonderful day.
Yeah.
And you've had a problem with pornography. And here's this billboard of a barely clothed woman. And that in itself, I mean, there you are minding your own business. You're just driving home or driving to work. And here's this picture. And that is enough for some individuals to just push them over the edge.
Wow.
So today, again, we're living in a world that everywhere we turn, we're just being bombarded with images that are anything but godly and holy and righteous.
Right. It is a struggle every day for some folks, I'm sure. Now, Scripture has quite a lot to say about sexual sin, the consequences of which can be pretty damning, as you know. And God's word warns us to flee from sexual immorality. But the stats, if those stats I just read are any indication, that porn is an especially huge problem. And while I've heard pastors talk about the sins of abortion and the same-sex attraction, I can't recall the last time I heard a church address the porn issue. So do the men who called you, do they have a point? Is there, I know that there are Celebrate Recovery programs, I believe, include some aspect of that, of the porn addiction. Maybe it is applied to all addiction. But do the gentlemen have a point?
I believe they do have a point. But again, there are churches that do offer ministry with specific emphasis in this particular area. But there needs to be a lot more. And I got to bring it all the way back to really about when Jesus gives us the command and calling to go and make disciples. Again, mm-hmm. We're sexual beings. Our sexuality is a big part of who we are. Mm-hmm. And to leave out what God has to say about his divine intent for human sexuality, let me just say, matter of fact, and plainly, if God can talk about sex, we can talk about sex. Now, there's a right way and a wrong way for that to transpire.
I mean,
people want to talk about sex. Okay, fine. We'll talk about it according to Scripture. There are others that want to talk about sex. Now,
right.
We're not going to go there.
Thank you.
Because that has no benefit. It doesn't bear any good fruit.
Right.
But we could, I think, leaving the church today, we could be doing a lot better in terms of offering specific ministry. But there are subject matters that the church, by and large, has shied away from. I don't understand that because in all of our churches, and any given Sunday morning, I would submit that we have an abundance of men and women that are struggling and often suffering in silence.
I agree with that. But I think when it comes to porn use or to porn addiction, not even the liberal, the extreme churches, you know, we'll discuss it. We have gay affirming churches and churches, and I'm using the air quotes here that you can't see, the churches that support abortion rights. But have you ever heard of a porn affirming church?
No, thankfully.
No, thankfully we don't. So with so much pain caused by porn and we read so much about the damage it's done to marriages and to the church and so forth, why are we in the church so hesitant to talk about the rampant porn use specifically? I mean, is it the ick factor or what?
Well, let me back up just a moment.
Okay.
Because once again, I've never heard of a porn-affirming church, thankfully.
Right.
Now, in terms of the whole subject matter of same-sex attraction, you're absolutely right. Today, we have gay-affirming churches, we have fearful churches, we have gay-bashing churches. But we still, thankfully, we do have churches that are sold out to doing it Christ's way.
Right.
Thank God.
Right.
But I do agree that the ick factor is a factor in the mix of what we're discussing mm-hmm. on today's broadcast. Personally, I believe we, the church, have shot ourselves in the foot a bit in that we have, to some degree, treated crucial issues such as the God-given sanctity of life and sexuality as secondary.
Yes.
As a result, today, the evangelical church that knows how to respond to abortion and homosexuality is more the exception than the rule. And frankly, personally, I don't understand that because we have an abundance of information readily available today. First and foremost, we have God's Word as our textbook for life on all matters of faith and practice. But in terms of the subject matter of pornography and mm-hmm. other specific areas, an abundance of information that could help individuals stay on track and do life God's way.
Right. But doesn't that mean we have to be an influence, a strong influence in our culture?
And again, I'll bring it back to you. It's going to take discipleship. It's going to take one-on-one ministry. Mm-hmm. I would never, ever minimize the teaching or preaching of God's word on a Sunday morning worship service.
Oh, right.
But in terms of discipleship, you got to get one-on-one with these individuals because they're looking for individual help, encouragement, love, and support. Mm-hmm. And they want to see, I believe more than anything else, they want to see, do you genuinely care about me? Or are you just wanting to win the argument?
Exactly. We see that in our ministry as well when we're out on the campus. We need to care. We need to decide what we want to win, the argument or the person.
Yes. Ultimately, many dismiss, ignore, or refrain from entering into this particular area of discussion, teachings, or sermons on the topics because they hit people where they are really living.
Mm-hmm. It does.
And it's personal.
It is.
And it's personal. I mean, again, talk about our sexuality. It's a private, personal, potent part of who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of individuals simply don't want to talk about it, and they don't want to be called on the carpet or questioned. But if we really, really want to see these areas of struggle in our lives resolved, we got to be transparent, honest, and vulnerable.
Oh, that's tough.
And that's a tall order. I get it. But it's necessary.
It is necessary.
It's necessary.
And, you know, according to looking at the Barna study, I also read that researcher George Barna said this: the Christian church is struggling to influence the nation's culture because, and I quote, believers think of themselves as individuals first, Americans second, and Christians third. And until that prioritization is rearranged, the church will continue to lose influence, and biblical principles will represent simply one more option among the numerous worldviews that Americans may choose from. Do you think that's true?
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. He said it well. Yes,
yes, he did.
In very detailed.
And I think he said this about 10 years ago, and it still holds true today, now more than ever.
Yes.
Right. Well, I wanted to just touch on really quickly for our people who are listening. You know, we talked about what does porn have to do with abortion, and I found a wonderful article by pro-lifer Jonathan Van Maren in which he pointed out, and I loved this, that the most significant commonality between abortion and pornography is that they are both systematically dehumanizing a group of people.
I would agree.
And I went, oh my goodness, because we talk about the dehumanization all the time. In the first case of abortion, the preborn children are the ones dehumanized. And in the second case, of course, women are. And this is a point we talk about with students on our campus outreach all the time. College campuses really are the only one of the few places I hear the unborn referred to as parasites. Mm. And a title that effectively dehumanizes the unborn child, which, of course, makes it easier to destroy them. And this is a very stark reminder that throughout history, we only ever separate personhood from the humanity for nefarious purposes, whether it be Native American Indians or slaves or Jews in the Holocaust or, you know, children now or women in porn. It's always for a nefarious purpose. So I thought that was... that was very compelling a realization for me as a pro-lifer. And also, you know, Philip, in our secret sins, this Jonathan Van Maren pointed out that with so many viewing porn regularly, is it really so many men viewing porn regularly, is it really surprising that they may be increasingly likely to pressure or even coerce women into an abortion?
Wow.
I mean, I don't think, he said, when children are no longer the gifts that they are, but an irritating consequence of what was supposed to be an unencumbered fantasy moment, is it really that much of a stretch to think that might happen? I don't think so.
No, I don't think it's a stretch at all.
And also, too, I think mostly there's the guilt and the shame that comes with the porn addiction, I think. And surely, when we indulge in these sins and these sexual sins, that comes between us and God.
And now you're pushing a big button.
Right.
Because when it comes to sexual sin, the shame factor alone is enough to keep many men and women withdrawn and never ever to disclose their area of struggle. And that is the supreme tactic of the enemy of our soul. He does his best to isolate us. God forbid anyone would find out what I'm struggling with. I'm a Christian. How can I be a Christian? I'm struggling with this kind of an addiction, this kind of an issue.
Uh-huh.
Well, first and foremost, you're a human being.
Right.
And as a result, we're living in this fallen world. We all struggle with a sinful nature. No one is exempt from that. So again, with the enemy coming at us and the world in which we live today that's doing everything it possibly can to cause us to do anything but live a godly lifestyle, again, can you think of a better area of the enemy our soul to attack than our sexuality?
But does that shame, I mean, porn addiction is still considered pretty shameful in most quarters, I think. But gay, same-sex attraction is not. It's widely accepted. So does that shame factor still exist?
Absolutely. And again, over these past 26 years of His Way Out Ministries, I was trying to reach back way in the memory banks in terms of our many, many years of ministry. And I can't recall, and I'm speaking primarily now of men, adult or young men, that came our way, whether for one-on-one discipleship or participate in some of our support groups. Ultimately, at some point, almost every individual voiced, once again, their issue of going to pornography much too often.
Mm-hmm.
My concern has always been, in viewing pornography, as the saying goes, at some point, it becomes not enough. And then other lines begin to be crossed. And that puts an individual, especially today, in terms of homosexual practice. The American Medical Association, the CDC, have all, for years, have cited that homosexual practice is high-risk behavior.
Mm-hmm.
We're not hearing a lot today anymore about HIV/AIDS,
right,
but it's still an ongoing worldwide crisis.
And you wouldn't know it, really. You just said, well, I mean, you really wouldn't know.
No, and the prime example is when I am speaking in churches, especially with youth groups, and I touch on the ongoing AIDS pandemic around the world, I get looks and people saying, wait a minute, huh? I thought this was resolved. Nope. Nope. Now, the medical profession has made great strides in treatment. And if you're diagnosed early and get on the appropriate medications, you can now live out a normal lifespan. But the rate of infection, as a matter of fact, I recently just had a doctor appointment, and my doctor was sharing me that right here in Bakersfield and Kern County, the rate of HIV infections has gone up again, primarily in young men in their early 20s.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
So it's not something that has just disappeared. It is not totally resolved. It's ongoing.
Mm-hmm.
Doing life God's way, there is great, great reward. And when we put things in front of our eyes that we don't need to see, those images are so powerful. They can be drawn up in the split second and cause some individuals to go down a path they had no business traveling.
Right, right. And so when we look at this, Philip, and we know that, now, we know that the same-sex attraction issue and the abortion issue and now the porn, well, not now, but the porn addiction issue, these are all so huge. Like you said, we don't expect pastors to deviate from their main job of sharing the gospel, the salvation message of Jesus Christ. Absolutely would never want to interfere with that. But my goodness, what do as believers in churches do we do? These are huge issues. How do we broach them?
Well, I would say first and foremost, we have to get away from individuals saying, well, I never struggled with same-sex attraction. I haven't looked at pornography, so I couldn't possibly help you. I can't relate. That is nonsense.
Uh-huh.
The individuals that were most instrumental in my own life going back some 35 years ago was a senior pastor and associate pastor. Both of these two wonderful godly men had never, ever had an issue with same-sex attraction.
Mm-hmm.
They had never read a book coming out on homosexuality. Mm-hmm. They'd never gone to a workshop or a conference. They believed in the power of the Holy Spirit to transform a life. What a concept, huh?
Oh, yeah. Wow.
But also what these two wonderful men did, they listened.
Okay.
They gave me an opportunity in a safe environment to pour it out. Now, there were times they got in my face when all I wanted to do was whine and complain.
Mm-hmm.
And today I'm very, very grateful that that's exactly what they did. We don't have to have a PhD in overcoming pornography to help someone.
Okay.
Do you know how to listen? Do you know how to pray for someone?
Mm-hmm.
Let's not dismiss people because we've not personally had that kind of a challenge in our life. We can offer a lot in Christ's name if we're willing to go the extra mile.
Wow, well said. And that the listening thing right off the top, instead of when someone goes, like these gentlemen who called you, I've gone to my church and they said, sorry, I can't help you. What kind of damage does that kind of rejection do? Because it feels like rejection.
I'm going to go out on a limb here.
Okay.
For someone to say, I haven't had that area of struggle in my life, I can't possibly help you. They're saying again, I can't listen to you, I can't pray, and I want to say, please, leave the ministry and go sell shoes. If we can't listen and we have lost the ability to pray for someone, we are in great, great crisis.
And you know what? These things are so huge. It's not something we can expect a pastor or pastors to tackle on their own. This is something that the laity can take to the leadership.
Yes, because more than that, we're talking about prolonged ministry.
Right.
These issues are not resolved overnight.
No.
We do not arrive at our broken places in life overnight. The expectation it's going to all be resolved overnight is just not real.
Right. And isn't the first step for churches to acknowledge that this is a problem?
Yes.
That would probably be pretty good.
Yes.
And then, realize the disease of pornography does exist somewhere within your church body, probably.
Yes, yes.
And the next step is maybe to put a program in place.
Yes. I would offer four steps.
Okay.
One, recognize you have a problem.
Right.
Follow James 5:16. Confess any hidden sins. James 5:16 is very clear. Confess your faults, your sins one to another so that someone will be praying for you so that you will be healed.
Yes.
Now, that verse does not mean just physical healing. It means emotional healing, sexual healing, mental healing.
Mm-hmm.
Be accountable to a friend, mentor, or pastor. And four, cultivate a new lifestyle. I'll bring it back again one more time to discipleship.
Yes.
And I really believe the true earmark of a faithful follower, a disciple of Christ today, is that individual's heart is submitted to Jesus on a daily basis for ongoing renovation. None of us have arrived, myself included. I'm still in process.
Dying to Jesus daily.
And it's going to be a process that continues in each of our lives.
That's
to
right.
Either go home to be with him or he comes back to get us. What am I saying? Relax, brother and sister, and enjoy the journey.
Oh, wow. Because it sounds exhausting. Philip, thank you so very much. I think we'll have to end it there. We're out of time, but thank you so much for being here again.
These are
tough topics to talk about, but I can't imagine anyone else I want to talk about them with. So thank you so much.
God bless.
And would you please end us in a word of prayer?
I'd be delighted.
Okay.
Father, once again, we thank you for this time. And Lord, we pray that what we've shared during this half-hour program, Lord, that many, many hearts, minds, and spirits would be receptive, Lord, not to what we've said literally, Lord Jesus, but because of who you are, that you have a better way, that you are a holy God, that you are for us, not against us. And Lord, regardless of what habit, regardless of what addiction, regardless of what compulsive behavior, you are more than able to turn life all around for your kingdom, for your glory, for your namesake. So we ask God for all those listening in, Lord, that you would touch each and every one for your namesake, as we ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Philip. Thanks again for being here. Hey, folks, hang in there with us for a few minutes because at 7:30, His Way Out Ministries program starts, and we're going to continue this discussion there. So thank you, and have a blessed week. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening in today. Please join us next Saturday at 7 a.m. for another Voices for Life broadcast, as we continue to proclaim the sanctity of innocent human life and advocate for the most vulnerable among us. Find Right to Life of Kern County on Facebook or on our website at rtlkc.org.